This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:49 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Mokhtar and Philip C. Now, Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob announced last week that the cabinet ministers scored 90% in their overall performance during the first 100 days of the current administration. That's an A+, 90%.
First class honours.
Now, there are some questions about how this grade was reached. The Evening Edition had their assessment last week with several economists. Do look up that discussion on the Inside Story podcast. We're also taking a look at this issue today, and we even have a poll running on our Twitter account. We're asking you, what's the most important outcome to gauge government effectiveness?
Yep, the options are better public services, more disposable income, and better economic prospects. At the moment, neck and neck, better public services and better economic prospects.
And neck and neck, yeah, okay, yeah, I would agree. My vote would go for better public services, actually.
Me too.
When you see better, when I get to have my service, when there are no potholes on the road, I do feel like the government is, you know, has their things in order.
Exactly, and that's the debate and equation about local and federal elections.
Okay, so for some insights into this issue, we have with us Shahril Sabaruddin, Director of Consultancy at Bait Al-Amanah, an independent research institute. He's on the line to weigh in on this. Good morning, Shahril. Thanks for joining us. Now, Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri gave his cabinet a 90% score. Do you agree with this grade?
Good morning. Okay, I would like to answer that question with another question. Do you actually go into an examination hall, right? You bring your own paper, you bring your own pen, you write your own questions, you do your own answers, you take another pen, and then you do your own grading. That's not how way things works, right? Normally, you have to give that whole assessment to the public to give that kind of scoring. So it's quite difficult for us to actually score the whole cabinet because there's no clear mechanism then for us to assess and grade each of the individual ministers' performance. And one, of course, we don't have much clarity and transparency regarding to how they are being assessed and how much has been accomplished. That's one, especially some of the ministries that we can't really measure. For example, Ministry of National Unity, how do you actually measure that? Ministry of Religious Affairs, how do you actually measure that? It's difficult for us. So while people within this ecosystem or within the government group might have their own set of measures or their own set of ways to actually kind of justify that 90% score, I think you can't really attribute that one so much to the realistic expectations that the public is actually expecting. So I don't really agree with that. And unfortunately, I don't really also have a score for them.
Because they were the examiner as well. Now, the Prime Minister did say that KPIs had been established around these six main core areas, right? Over 140 key targets. You know, do you have any indication on what these goals are? And with such a huge cabinet, how applicable are these targets actually?
If we can just revisit that. I mean, there's like six things that are big. Like just reading through it, restructuring the economy. In 100 days, how much do we can actually do to restructure the economy? Even if we're bloated a cabinet, I don't think that that's realistic to actually say that we have achieved so much in that sense. And second, ensuring the country's safety and peace. That's so subjective. And there's no that parametrical measurement for us to actually say that we are living in a more safe and peaceful country in these 100 days. Increasing social harmony, how do we actually do that? We are facing an endemic right now. So this is something that you know, that has not really been communicated to the public. And another one is strengthening integration in the Keluarga Malaysia mold. When the Prime Minister, rose up to power, he immediately launched this Keluarga Malaysia. I think we don't really understand as a whole what this Keluarga Malaysia is all about yet. And then when he talks about now in 100 days, the ministry has 90% integrated into the Keluarga Malaysia mold, it's even more vague and even more incomprehensible. So that's those are things that we can't really, you know, there's no indication whatsoever. But one thing that we can perhaps measure is the last core area, which is strengthening service delivery. So that is perhaps you know, in terms of the digitization of some of the public services, maybe we have achieved some of the targets that I can, you know, kind of like give some positive vibes to it. But other than that, I think there needs to be a lot more attention because of the pandemic that has ravaged entire business models.
So let's just get a broad perspective from you then in terms of which ministries have performed well so far in the first 100 days and which other ministries perhaps need a lot more improvement. And this is just based on your own individual assessment rather than some overarching KPI set by the government.
Yeah, okay, that's that makes sense. Of course, I think everyone would agree that the ministry that most visible and has touched a lot more pain points is perhaps Ministry of Health, because you know they have performed at least by virtue of the vaccination progress. But not just that, if we look at how the Ministry of Health has actually really outreached to the public by things like, for example, the COVID Now platform, that is something that we could actually make use of, because there's been no such transparency or efforts like this being done before. And then also, if we look further outside of the scope of COVID, even the acceptance of medical marijuana use as legal in Malaysia is also something that's quite radical, and we could actually put praise to it. Of course, there are some weaknesses with MOH, such as the long-standing issue of the contract doctor, things that seems like there's no end to there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. I think we need to also kind of like single out several ministries that are lacking in performance or need improvements. I could pretty much say, I mean, from a personal opinion, is perhaps Ministry of Education and Ministry of Higher Education, because, you know, they involve children and the future of our labor force. Because, you know, during the recovery phase, everyone, I think, has this problem of the MOE and MOH not doing enough to make sure that the children are not being neglected. You know, the pursuit of human capital development is much more than just providing, you know, a manual education. So there's no radical approach to how we can actually address the impacts of COVID to the learning ecosystem. And even the decisions about reopening and closing schools, that's messy more than ever. So I think that's just singling out those two just gives, I mean, that balanced idea of what the performance of this.
So just quickly, right, as we step back, right, 100-day KPI is relevant because it's all around in the corporate world, but is it relevant in this context here?
Yeah, when KPIs are good for establishing guidelines, at least, so that we know that, you know, at least the ministry has a set of rules to actually achieve, and then this can be refined as we go along, because the uncertainties of the future requires a lot more things that we need to fine-tune. We don't really know where we should be heading and what are the strength of our resources. But what we need right now is not just celebrating this, because going ahead and saying that we have achieved 90% of this and then, you know, having this whole celebration, to me, it's a bit absurd, because at the same breath, people are not having a roof over their head. Some people are losing jobs. Some people have entire businesses run down. Investors are leaving the countries. Our export goods are being banned. So there's a lot of things that are being glossed over while we are at the same time saying that we have achieved so much. So 100 days, it's not even like sloganeering or just, you know, a graphical interpretation of very superficial achievements. It's bad, because we need something more radical. Now the nation, basically the government is inheriting a nation in tatters because of the pandemic that has ravaged the entire economy, you know. So we need more radical approach to economy. We need reform with our investment regimes. We need to remake our immigration policy. We need to stop wastages, which I think right now is not... Okay, we need a renewed commitment to eliminate corruption, and more importantly, right, this is my personal opinion, but I think shared with a lot of people, we need a new mandate.
Okay, Shahril, I'm gonna have to put a stop there. I think that's a great place to end. The people need a new mandate. Thank you so much for speaking to us. That was Shahril Sabaruddin, Director of Consultancy at Bait Al Amanah, an independent research institute, talking to us about his assessment of the 100 days of the administration.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.